White Sox Weekly continuing, and I got to be honest, we did schedule this before the big game this week, but I think we saw the future, Dylan Cease, that you were going to have one of your better performances. And I say one of them because you've struck out 12 and flirted with no-hitters before, but quite a performance this week against the Tennessee Smokies, and we appreciate you joining us. My first question, did pitching against Tennessee, the Cubs' double-A affiliate, was that just maybe a drop of an extra motivation going into the game? I would think it would be.
I don't know. I'm always motivated to, you know, do the best I can before whenever I'm pitching. So, I mean, it may be a little bit more exciting that I know a lot of those guys, so it can make it a little bit more fun. But, I mean, I would have been happy doing that to any team.
Hey, Dylan, you have a potpourri, a virtual lineup. You've got like a million different pitches. Most guys your age have like one or two pitches. How did you acquire all these pitches, and do you have as much faith in each of them?
Well, I don't know about that. I feel like a lot of guys around my age have three or four these days. Really, I only had two, and then I've added two. I've kind of added two this year. So just constant repetition and practice with them.
Just to get you updated out there, Dylan Cease went 9-2 at Winston-Salem, 2.89 ERA, 71 and two-thirds innings, 52 hits. That's outstanding. Got promoted to Birmingham, now 2-0. Batters are hitting 188 against you. You've got 124 strikeouts combined. And what's interesting to me, Dylan, like last year you get traded, you come over to the White Sox, you were 1-10, but your ERA was in the threes. And, you know, this year you're just racking up wins. I'm wondering, did that weigh on you last year looking at the record? Because, you know, baseball nowadays, the record doesn't matter. But for a starting pitcher, I feel like the record always matters.
Honestly, it really didn't weigh on me because a lot of that is out of my control. And the minor leagues is just for development. So, really, it was, you know, I'm just out there trying to execute pitches better every single time and give my team a chance to win. So, it was unfortunate that I lost so many, but it didn't weigh on me now.
All right, so Dylan, you're in Birmingham. Do you guys still have that Michael Jordan bust that he bought for the team?
We don't, but that would be awesome. I think, I heard a story. I think someone bought it maybe, but I'm not too sure.
Is there remnants of the 45 jersey around?
Probably not, but there are posters all over the place of him, so you definitely know that he played there.
Okay.
One day there could be posters like that of you know who.
Yeah, who?
are you I look at your numbers, Dylan, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm you, I probably feel like I could pitch in the majors right now. I know you have to build up arm strength and go through the whole process, pitch in double A, have success, and probably do the same thing at triple A. But do you feel like, you know what, if they gave me a shot right now, I could have success?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I don't usually think ahead too far like that, but I do feel confident that if I was put in that situation, I would be okay. I would be fine.
Dylan, you know, Mark and I, we do the same thing. We have other friends through radio. Before I did this, I did stand-up. All my friends were comics. You are friends with guys you're competing against. How do you use that to your advantage and push yourself to move forward as opposed to, like, trying to sabotage them?
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily use any of that to an advantage. It's much more pleasant when you're, you know, when everyone at the ballpark is your friend than if they're your enemy. So, you know, like, for instance, a guy this year like Jimmy Lambert, who's on my team, he always goes out and dominates and throws his off-speed for strikes. So that just motivates me more, like, okay, he's doing really well, he's gross. If I can do the same thing, I'll be able to put up the same numbers and do the same stuff.
We interviewed a couple weeks back Omar Vizquel, and obviously you're familiar with him. What was it like playing for a guy who had so much success, belongs in the Hall of Fame, and seems like he just has the same enthusiasm for the game now that he did, you know, probably 20 years ago, or even when he was a kid?
That was a really fun experience. He kept everything loose. Obviously, he has a ton of baseball knowledge. So I think just the example that he set of, you know, how to go about your business and all that was a really good experience. On top of that, we had a great first half, and we won the first half, so it really couldn't have been any better.
All right, now, we just interviewed Nick Madrigal, who's got a twin brother. You also have a twin brother?
I do also have a twin brother, yes, Alec.
fraternal or identical?
Fraternal.
Okay, so it's kind of weird that the White Sox have these two guys that are going to be a big part of their future run to glory that are both twins. Do you and Alec, like, if he's in another state and he drops a book on his toe, do you feel that? Do you have a Bo Jess thing going?
I don't know about that. You know, we definitely text and Snapchat a good amount, so I'm guessing that he would have told me if something like that happened. So no, I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't know.
Did you guys push each other? Like, I want to be better than you. You want to be better than me. Henceforth,
100%. We fought all the time.
Do you think that, so? You would say that actually helped you get to where you're at.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it was definitely a, you know, we go home and we ask our dad who's better and who's, you know, who do you like better and all that stuff.
What would he say?
I think he would just, I think he actually would get a little bit upset after we kept bugging him about it because he knew he was never going to give us an answer.
Fair enough. You're a Georgia guy. Milton High School, Milton, Georgia. I'm assuming that made you a Brave fan growing up. I saw on your Twitter,
yes.
you put out some Chipper Jones. So was Chipper your favorite guy?
Yeah, off the Braves, he definitely was. Yeah, he was a GOAT.
Who else?
Who else? I mean, I could go like year by year. I mean, some of my favorites were guys like Rafael Furcal, Javi Lopez. Obviously, all the Cy Young pitchers they had. Who else am I missing? Andrew Jones, of course. I mean, they won, I think, 14. They won the division 14 straight years or something like that, or made the playoffs 14 straight years. So
yeah,
that was a really fun group to watch.
I'm not hearing a Mark Lemke.
Mark Lemke. Was he a second baseman?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he was a little bit before. Marcus Childs was the earliest second baseman I remember.
When you were in the Cub organization, did you have any contact with Greg Maddux?
No, I did not, but Keith Lockhart was the scout that drafted me, and so that was kind of a close connection.
How tough a call was that for you? You were accepted to Vanderbilt. You're coming off an elbow injury. You're a sixth-round pick. The Cubs are offering you money that's incredible for a 90-year-old, let alone someone who's 17. how do you go back and forth about that? Like when you look back on it, how difficult was that decision?
The decision wasn't difficult. It was more just the fear of the unknown, and you know your whole life is about to be flipped upside down. That was more nerve wracking, but really, that I feel like that was the only decision I had. So that in that sense, it wasn't that difficult.
When you injured your arm in high school, did you think it was over?
In terms of getting drafted.
Well, and what your future would be like? Oh my God, my arm's falling apart. I'm not going to be able to live my dream.
Yeah, I mean, I really did. I didn't think I'd really have a shot at getting drafted. And then I definitely was worried that I wouldn't come back and I wouldn't know how to maintain my body or whatever. But fortunately, I was able to learn a good process with the Cubs.
All right, I don't know anything about him, so please talk to Carm and I. Talk to Sox fans about your Yogi. Okay.
About who?
Your Yogi.
Oh, Sadhguru?
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, I saw some of his YouTube videos, and then I loved it, so I read all of his books, and it's more just like, the best way that I describe it to people is like, he's like my Tom Brady. He's like the Tom Brady of consciousness, so I absolutely love this guy. It's like my life dream to meet him.
So I love the personal growth work and being present and trying to get the most out of yourself, which is obviously, I mean, and that's why I look up to you guys, Dylan, because professional athletes, to do what you do, you have to be super talented, but you also have to have the mental side as well. And I think people realize that, but sometimes maybe they don't realize it as much. I mean, when things are kind of getting fast out there for you and it's not going your way, like what's your strategy to get yourself back in the moment and just make the next pitch?
I mean, really, I think I'm just consciously breathing and focusing on the next thing I have to do to execute the pitch and not letting things snowball, just staying relaxed and calm and, you know, kind of having that process.
See, for me, if I'm in Birmingham and I don't know anybody, I'm looking for a party. You know, how do you avoid the temptation of, hey, there's cute girls and there's beer at that party? You know, I'm going to stay in and I'm going to get to bed early and I'm going to focus on my next assignment tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just prioritizing. You know, every once in a while, it's good to let loose. But for me, especially if I don't sleep well, I get grumpy the next day, and then I get, you know, I'm less motivated to do all the little things that you have to do to put yourself in a spot to succeed. So for me right now in my life, I'd much rather follow my, I guess, two passions, which are baseball and then kind of like the meditation, spiritual, you know, process as well. So those are the two most meaningful things in my life.
Do you do it daily, the meditation?
Yes.
How long? What's your, if you're willing to share?
Yeah, it depends. For me, I even count conscious breathing as a form of meditation. So you can do that all day long, but it can be anywhere. You can sit down for 5 minutes, for 20 minutes. It's not, I guess it's not necessarily about the length. It's about the quality of what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my wife all the time. So meditation, do you believe in conscious thought or do you believe in like voiding your mind of thought?
I don't think you can void your mind of thought. They call it the monkey mind. Your mind is just constantly running, and essentially that it's just a tool for survival. So I think it's just more of being aware of your thought and kind of transcending. A big thing of like the spiritual process is transcending limitations. So it's just being aware of that thought and not necessarily wanting the thought to go away, but just saying, hey, I see it. That's not me. I'm not that thought.
Right. Being empathetic to the thought, Harry. We're all humans. Does that make sense? Right?
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah. There was a yogi teacher, Dylan, that I knew. He would go into...
Yogi Bear?
It wasn't Yogi Bear. He would go into a sit where they would go into the woods for I don't know how long, and they literally would sit. So what you're talking about, the monkey brain, like eventually the thing that's distracting you is just going to calm down, and like your purest thoughts would come out. He said it was the most intense thing. It scared me just thinking about it, but maybe, I don't know. Have you ever done any like a weekend retreat, something crazy like that? Not crazy, that's the wrong word, but something as aggressive as, you know, to sort of present yourself?
The most I've ever done is probably an hour and a half. I mean, I really do have plans of one day going to, maybe going to India and like seeing if I can't, train a little bit with this guy. He's got a place in Tennessee, actually. It's just, he isn't there very often, but no, I would be definitely down to try it at some point, probably during the off season, because during the season, I got to focus most of my energy on just my execution of pitches, but that would be definitely something I'm interested in.
Now, you're a little younger than us, but I'm sure you're aware that the Beatles did that. They went to India and they found...
Yeah, I think they did Transcendental Meditation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your teammates look at you cross-eyed when you're talking about this stuff, or are you getting more of a... Are some people more curious and interested?
Somewhat, you know, I think it can be split on how people look at it. I try not to be too, you know, in everyone's face about it, but people who are interested in it will ask me about it. But yeah, I think I'm probably known as kind of weird, but oh well.
That's all right. Weirdness is good. Embrace it.
Yeah.
Well, weirdness can work for you.
Yeah, it definitely can. Abnormal wins.
Well, and most teams now, I mean, this is, you know, most teams have a mental skills coach, many of them. The Cubs, I don't know if you ever knew who, he just passed away, Ken, I forget his last name.
Yeah.
But the players, I mean, they spoke glowingly about him. So this is the thing. I mean, it's not just how you get yourself ready on the field. It's not just lifting weights and stretching. There's also the mind part.
And John Smoltz, the great former Brave, was one of the first guys to bring that in.
Yeah. No, it's a huge part of the game. I think clubs that are having these programs are really smart.
How about Blake Rutherford? Can we go Blake Rutherford?
Yes. Stud, contact, hard contact often is what I would say about him.
Try Basabe. Go ahead.
I'll go with you, Harry. Basabe next.
Yeah, Basabe also stud. Hit 102-mile-an-hour fastball over the fence in the Futures game. Good pop, switch hitter, and good outfielder.
What if you had faced Basabe at the Futures game? What would have happened?
I think it would have been unfair because I've watched him all year. I know how to pitch him.
Does he know that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about it.
Now there are people that already have Eloy Jimenez pegged in as a future MVP. Do you foresee a day where that Eloy Jimenez trade will be known as the Dylan Cease trade?
Wow.
Do I see a day? Probably not, but I think maybe there's a possibility that one day it's like, wow, they did a good job with that trade. That would make me happy. Eloy can have the main, you know, the main stage if he'd like.
I think that day has already come. Of course, you guys, I guess, have to do it on the major league level, but it certainly looks great for the White Sox right now. It's got to be conflicting for you because the Cubs invested so much in you. You didn't think you were going to get drafted, paid you a lot of dough, and probably didn't want to trade you. I'm sure they didn't, but they felt like they had to make a move. So how do you balance not being bitter, but appreciating them and just moving forward?
Yeah, no, it's not really a balance at all because I'm not bitter at all. I know baseball is a business, and they gave me every opportunity to become a better player, which is all you can really ask for. So I have no hard feelings towards the Cubs, and I really am grateful for a lot of everything they did for me.
Well, when you come to Chicago, what is it you're looking forward to? Besides, like, striking 12 guys out in a single game, what are you most looking forward to about Chicago, the city?
Honestly, I guess it would just be exploring it, and obviously I'll probably lean on the guys that have been there for a while to ask them what I should do here. I think I'll probably take more of just an observational approach, you know, see what everyone else does and kind of just go with the flow of that.
Deep dish pizza, dude.
That's what I've heard. I'm not a big pizza guy, unfortunately.
Well you know, I wasn't a big peach guy till I got to Georgia.
Dylan, physically, how are you feeling? Do you see yourself pitching throughout the whole year here?
Yeah, I feel fantastic. That's out of my control, but, you know, I'm ready to pitch wherever they send me. I feel great, and, I feel like I'm getting better as every start goes on.
We want to meet you when you get here. Stay healthy and keep striking, guys out every chance you get, because it's a lot of fun. And right now, the way the team is going up here, it's easy to look for hope. And I think in you, we see a new hope.
And I say pitch to contact too, Dylan. Just getting outs is good too. Harry's wants all the glamour of the strikeout. You know, if you don't strike out anybody and go deep, that's great too. See?
Yeah. I mean, if I can get guys out in 3 and 4 pitches, that's fine. But I don't mind every once in a while a one or two pitch ground ball for an out, so I'll take a good combo of both.
All right, we'll see if we can't get you started. We'll send you some deep dish to Georgia or okay. Birmingham. Yeah,
sounds good,
Dylan. Great to talk to you. We really appreciate the time. Continued success.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.